Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Kimberly Saavedra, Director of the Comlock Center, and I'd like to welcome you this evening to Signs of Life Radio. And this personal episode is about your personal experiences. We like to talk about all kinds of things here that will help us understand our experiences, to accept them, to trust them, to integrate them. And tonight's co-hosts for this episode are Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That is Changing the World, and Forever Family Foundation certified medium Janet Mayer,
yay,
who is also author of Spirits, They Are Present. We're glad to be together with you again, and we would encourage you to face your fears, to dare to be bold and brave, and realize that what you've experienced and what you can share can make a difference in other people's lives. The numbers for you to call in to join our conversation with a comment, an experience, a question that pertains to the subject matter of this show are 888-627-6008 or 323-744-4831. And just a reminder that although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experience, which do not involve a medium. So hello, Janet, and hello, Betty,
hello.
And welcome, everyone.
Hello. Thank you, Kim.
So, Janet, what kind of wisdom do you have for us to begin the program with today?
Oh, gosh, Betty, you always have way more wisdom, but I can share with you real quick what something that I was thinking about today. And that was, sometimes when a loved one transitions and it's almost as if you suddenly meet your spiritual self. Now, I know that sounds weird, but most people are living in the physical, they're doing their everyday life, and they're just going about what they're doing and what they experience next. And they leave out a lot of times spiritual. And when someone passes, it kind of like drops you on your head. You're so shooken up. It's, a huge hole in your heart. And suddenly there's this like this other self that you begin to see. And it's like your spiritual self. And I mean, it's always been there, but it amplifies when someone passes. And it's almost kind of like sometimes, you don't recognize yourself. And when somebody says, oh, they're so different. I mean, yes, it is from the loss. It is from the loss, but it's also that you find this part of you that you never knew existed, and you suddenly start, it starts opening up around you and all these things start happening. And people are like, oh my gosh, this happened, or this, the lights were going out, or this was going on. And you suddenly realize that, you're kind of expanding from inside out because you have this loss that you're trying to compensate. And at the same time, it's like your soul is saying, here I am, I'm going to wake you up and we're going to show you what we can do because we want you to connect with your loved ones, on the other side. And so that was kind of with me today. For some reason, I kept thinking of that. And I thought, I wonder, a lot of times people do say to me like, oh, so-and-so said I'm so different. And I'm like, well, in a way you are, in a lot of ways, you're not, but it's that you're more open because you know that your loved one, you still might feel them around you, or you still might experience something from them, like a smell of like their, whatever, their perfume or their deodorant or whatever it may be. And I think that sometimes it's good to remember that, pay attention to those experiences, that they are reaching out to you, and they're not going to be mad at you if you miss them. If you miss it, they're just going to come back and show you some other way, and they'll let you know that they're around you and they love you, and And so that's my wisdom for the day.
Well, I think it's really very fine wisdom.
I do too. I think it sounds a lot like wisdom, Janet.
Thanks.
And yes. You know, it's so true that when someone we love leaves the physical body, we're they're constantly on our minds, and we're drawn to them, and they are not here. Where are they? So we're pulled into thinking about another world. You know, if we don't know and haven't experienced that other world, because that person is not here, we are pulled to there, wherever there is. And I think our thoughts are on the other world, our thoughts are on them. And there is that part of us, as you say, that is being drawn, pulled into soul, into spirit, so that we can experience them. And I know in my own life, I had longed for, looked for, studied, wanted to know what really happens when we die. But it wasn't until the deaths in my family that I really experienced the other side and experienced them in the other dimension. And so it was, I said at the time, the greatest sorrow of my life and the time of greatest joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. You're right, buddy. I understand that. And I mean, I think that it is amazing when you think about, you know, all the emotions that run through when all this is happening. And, you know, you're just trying to, you know, live, you know, go on with your life and move forward. And, you know, you have to honor those emotions and you have to feel them and you have to, you know, I mean, how many times, you know, with different, you know, when people lose a loved one, when someone loses someone, even like when I have, it's like all the different emotions that you experience and, you know, and you go through that and you're kind of like, okay, I, you know, and then I'm always like, well, give me a sign, you know, I'm asking for a sign and I try to allow them to come through in whatever way they need to. You know, like sometimes, and I mean, I, you know, honestly, I know someone that, you know, she's like, I don't want to see them. I don't let them show up. I go, well, then you just say that, you know, they'll come to you in a way that won't freak you out. You know, for me, I'm like, yeah, you can show up. I mean, I've had so many weird experiences, you know, and so many unusual things happen. And yes, I still get surprised once in a while. I still jump and, you know, and I think it's just one of those things that I feel so grateful. And I think by starting off with paying attention to what's going on, yes, and being open to what's around me and, you know, and just kind of, you know, and taking care of yourself with all that you're going through and the grief is really important.
Yes. You know? Yes. I think it really pulls us into, as you said, soul. We are much more likely to be thinking about the deep issues of life, the foundation of life. Why are we here? What is my purpose? And how can I connect with this person that I loved so much and still love? I think love pulls us in the direction of soul and of opening up and waking up. But I think also, you know, we're saying that people say, well, you're not the same person. First of all, you are focused in a different way. That's for sure. I remember hearing sometimes a couple that I know very well, they fuss. And I would think they really haven't allowed themselves to know that what we have now is temporary. There'll be a time when they won't, one of them won't be here. You know, that was just so, so present with me right after the deaths, is that it was like they haven't been caught up to face soul, so to speak, and to know that everyone we love today, it is temporary in terms of the physical, that, you know, certainly at my age, I look back at all many different worlds it seems that I've lived in. And so many of them are completely gone. And all of the people who lived in those worlds are gone. But I think when we confront death, we really do confront the issues of who we are and what we're here for. And if that doesn't change us, I don't know what will. And wow. I know people have said to me, well, I lost friends during that time. Well, some people are not ready to think on those matters, and it's scary, or they don't think there is anything, and
so they'll knock on wood and hope it doesn't happen ever.
Exactly, exactly. So, and when we've experienced the death, then we are called to face it.
Mm-hmm.
And we must. So if our friends do not or cannot, then we might lose them.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. That's true. And I think, you know, and another big reminder with all of that is, you know, to not put your loved ones in the past. You know, they still exist. They're still around. And when we are open to them in a new way of them being, you know, they've transitioned, they're on the other side, well, however you want to say it, you know, they're still alive. They're asked, like, you know, they just lost their physical body. And
right.
And I think too, like, you know, that's something as people are like, well, you know, they're gone forever. And you're like, well, really look at it that way. I don't think they really are. I mean, I've had too many experiences with loved ones that have come back, you know, years later, even. I mean, I think my grandmother came back to me to give me information I needed to know, like over 20 years after she passed. I mean, she passed when I think I was, you know, a young teen or, you know, and so it's kind of like a reminder of, okay, you know, when we ask them that if we need to know anything and if they can come to us and give us a heads up, that's great. Or if there's something, you know, if a loved one, we just need comfort for them. And I mean, you know, I'm sure with you the same way, Betty and Kim, is when you, you know, when you've lost someone, every once in a while, boy, you really, really feel their energy really strong. And then something happens that day that just totally is exactly them. You know, it's either like an affirmation of some sort, or you see a sign with their name or something, you know, a song or something happens that it's just like it makes you stop in your tracks and say, okay, I know they're here. You know, thank you. I needed this today. And you know, and then you can kind of move on. And it's a good thing because it's almost like, you know, they give us comfort from the other side, which, you know, in a way, that's pretty wonderful.
Oh, yeah, we need that. Yeah, we certainly need that. I think that it's absolutely the heritage of our human species to be in touch with that world. And we've lost it for several hundred years, more than that, more mm-hmm. than 2,500 years at least, because of the Orthodox teaching, you know. And so we kind of lost that connection to the other world. I think gradually we're building it back by people like you, by people who experience it and tell others, and by our callers. Where are you guys? You're not calling in.
Maybe they need the number again.
Yeah, give them the number again.
Maybe the number and a little Brené Brown. And she said wisely, the willingness to show up changes us. It makes us a little braver each time. And that's from her book called Daring Greatly. So
like
we greatly dare you, or dare you greatly. Call and have a conversation with us, 888-627-6008. Or 323-744-4831.
Yeah, it's always interesting to hear someone else's experiences, and only they really know, you know. Sometimes, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, we all know that is amazing, but sometimes they know precisely that that particular object or that particular occurrence is so meaningful to them. And it's mm-hmm. just so much fun to hear from other people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. That's great. I mean, I think it's validating. I actually wrote that, you know, we are on the show and we're just the vessels, but the listeners are the ones who call in to have, they have so much to offer from their experiences, which they do. And it's for everyone, you know, and I always say that, you know, to pay attention. But I do think that when other people are listening to the show and they're like, okay, somebody calls in with a story, and it's like, we're all normal people, you know? And it's like, so when you have a story, it's just so amazing to know that that connection does exist. And I think that's what's really important with this, is to remind people that we do all have that connection and it does exist. And you know, I'll go ahead and I'll share a quick story since, you know, we don't have a caller right now, but when my son was little, and I might've mentioned this story before, and I don't remember, I remember that, I was really tired one night, and maybe I even said this last month, I don't know, but for some reason this popped into my head again. I was really tired and I was rubbing his back at night, and, you know, and I was singing to him, and I was like, I just wish someone would rub my back. And with that, someone did. And I literally flew out of the room, and then I walked back in and I was like, okay, maybe mean it like that. Yeah. But at the same time, it was kind of like, you know, letting us know we do have loved ones around, that we do have, you know, spirits or guides or, you know, whatever you may call them, angels around you, and that they are watching out for us. They are, you know, as much as, you know, what anyone can. And I think that's important too. And I think that it always reminds me how close and how available they really are, and our loved ones are, and that when we talk to them and we do hear from them and we do get messages, and that, you know, I do suggest for people to write it down and to, you know, either keep a little journal or, you know, write something where, you know, type it up on their computer if they prefer, or in their phone. And then you begin to see sometimes either a pattern, or you notice that when you're having a rough day, that's the day that they seem to pop up. Or, you know, there's people that call and say, well, they never show up. I don't know where they are. And it's like, oh, they're there. They're there. And they're probably dropping little bits and pieces around you. And I think that, you know, if, you know, it's not like every time and every little moment is them coming through and they're doing this and they're doing that. But I do think that especially when you're going through a difficult time, you know, your loved ones are around you and they are there to be there in support for you. So I think that's really important too, you know.
Well, yeah. And it's always good to hear you say those things and like to pay attention, because we've been taught for more than 2,000 years that, oh, that was just a coincidence, or don't make so much of it, or that just happened. You know, it's always, we've always had a way to devalue, to reduce what has happened to nothing. And so to retrain ourselves to pay attention and to really let that spirit come through so we experience it is life-changing, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Betty. And wouldn't it be nice if they would teach that in all schools about, you know, meditation, you know, a spiritual class, something to, you know, connecting with your loved ones? I mean, I know I'm probably going overboard and that might not happen for a really long time, but I just always think if we would have known when we were kids that we could connect with our loved ones when we were younger, that could have changed so much too, you know, as we've gotten older, as we've experienced, you know, death and anything like that.
Well, even if we would recognize the knowledge that we do have now of the mind and know how certain breathing techniques, the kind of relaxation, and allow these teach children, you know, to breathe and from their tummies, which they pretty much do, because they have those big little tummies.
Yeah.
And then as they get older, like in kindergarten or grade school, to learn how to relax, to have a quiet time, just to breathe and feel their body totally relaxing, and to get into another state, another frequency, that in itself would be so valuable.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Janet, did you ever have a sense of who it might have been who was touching your back way back when?
Well, you know, I don't. I kind of feel like it might have been where I lived at the time. I was in a condo, and it was a new condo, and they had plowed this whole, there was one house on this big property. And after the woman passed, they, you know, plowed that, and then they built houses, and they had all this other, they had condos. And at the time, and this was many years ago, I really felt like it was like an older woman. And then, you know, months later, when I had another experience with a woman at the end of the bed, at the end of my bed, and she basically was trying to let me know somebody was, you know, stealing out of our car outside the window. And she was holding her hands up and out. And I always remember that and think, I think that was her just watching over her land that she loved it so much, and she loved everything around it. And she, and if you were open, like I guess I was, she would, you know, show me something or try to help. And so I really felt like it was just this woman who maybe used to live there. And I thought that was always really cool. And then when I saw, you know, months later, I saw this woman who actually, you know, I was, you know, hitting my husband, like, there's a woman at the end of the bed, there's a woman at the end of the bed. And it was the one of the coolest experiences I've had. And I mean, I've had a lot of unusual experiences, but this was a really unique and cool one, because I, to this day, could still describe her. I mean, exactly how I saw her, exactly how she stood, exactly where she stood. And I kept thinking, you know, and then she had this, it like coming out of her solar plexus were these rainbow colors that were, you know, I said they were even like, if you think of neon lights, you know, and how bright they are. I mean, it was brighter than that. It wasn't a light I have ever seen. It was so intense and so beautiful. And it was coming out of her towards me. And I just felt this love. And I think I even wrote it down. I think in my book, I remember saying that it was not an earth love. It was something so powerful and so amazing that, you know, for anyone who loves, I mean, just, you know, amplify that on and on and on. And then after that, when she disappeared, and I just laid there and I was like smacking my husband who was sleeping, you know, there's like a woman at the end of the bed, and he's like, oh, go back to sleep. You're fine. Go back. And, you know, he was so used to me by then anyway, that whenever I had an experience, he was just used to it. And he's like, okay, that's fine. You can tell me in the morning. And the next morning, I wait until the next morning. It takes me like a half hour. But what I should say too is before that, I was laying on my side and I felt someone push my shoulder, and they pushed me back. And once I was pushed over on my back is when I saw her. So that was a really, really unique experience for me. And then the next morning was when, you know, he got up and he's like, oh, well, what was happening last night? You know, and I told him what the story of what I saw. And he's like, okay. And then, you know, he left for work and he went downstairs. It was a two-story. He went downstairs and I heard the door shut. And not even maybe a minute later, I hear the door fling open and he comes running up the steps. And he's like, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what? He's like, somebody broke into our van and, you know, stole everything. And I was just like, oh my gosh, now I understand what she was trying to tell me. And I mean, at the time, you're just like, well, why is she standing like that? You know, and I'm like, I'm not afraid of her. This is really interesting. I don't know who she is. And this is what she looked like. And it was such an amazing experience. And at the same time, it was so surreal that, you know, people are like, oh, were you afraid? I'm like, no. I said, I wasn't afraid at all. I said, actually, I just was so amazed that I could actually see someone. You know, I could see her and I could, you know, I could kind of see through her, but not see through her. And it was like she, you know, exactly what I saw. I remember what I saw. And then, you know, I said, now I understand. She was the way she was standing. It wasn't like a ballet move. She had her hands going up to have me look out the window, but I didn't look out the window because I was looking at her. And so, you know, of course I'm, you know, had to call the insurance company and do all that. But the interesting thing was, is she was giving me a heads up. And I've always remembered that, to say, you know, if I need to know something, and, you know, if I'm supposed to know it, and if I can know it, then, you know, please show me, whoever that may be, you know, whoever, you know, whatever loved one or spirit guide or friend or whatever, you know, I'm here. I'll try to listen and pay attention. And yeah, you know, I miss things, you know, but there's a lot of things I do catch. And I think it's really cool that, you know, they are around us and they are here for us. And if they can, if someone can do that, that I don't even, you know, really know, you know, how connected can our loved ones be, you know? And so that was kind of an eye opener for me too, to realize that, you know, they don't have to be a loved one. They could just be a friend that's trying to help us out, or maybe she was a spirit guide. You know, I don't know for sure, but I do know what she looks like, and, you know, and I'm very thankful to her, and I'm still to this day amazed. And, you know, we were only there like maybe 7 years and then we moved, but we're really not all that far away from there. And every once in a while, I think, boy, I'd love to go over there again and see if she's around. And I think, you know what, she might still be with me. So who knows?
Yeah, right. It's interesting, isn't it, that you think at a time like that, why someone, if they can do all of that and you can receive all of that, why couldn't she communicate that to you through words or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just wonder why that would not come through when she was clearly there, clearly wanted you to know, clearly was pointing in that direction. And you just think, why couldn't language be used in a case like intuitively, telepathically, so that even if you don't know the same language, you could get the thought, you know?
Right. And the thing is, you don't know. You don't know. I mean, it's kind of like I clearly could see her. So, I mean, that was very apparent. And maybe, you know, she felt like I would get that message. And maybe I just totally missed it. But I was so amazed by the experience. It was so beautiful and so loving. And it was like it was seared into my brain, you know, and it was so, I mean, it's just it was almost like a physical being there. I mean, she wasn't physical, but it was just that clear and that strong. And maybe she was trying to, you know, send it telepathically, but I wasn't catching it because I was, you know, in the moment experiencing a bunch of other things. And so that's something important too for listeners is you might be thinking you're getting one thing and, oh, it means this, it means this. And maybe, you know, it doesn't mean it's something bad. It means maybe something they're just there to give you support, you know, like she was.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you said that she had lived there before. She had owned that land.
Well, I mean, there was a woman that did own the land, and I often think it's her. I would love to see pictures of her to see if it was her.
Yeah,
and I find it interesting because she had kind of like, I call like Gibson girl hairdo. You know, it was kind of puffy on top and then another little ball up there. And it was just really interesting to, you know, because she didn't look like she was, you know, from my era, you know, it was kind of like she looked older. And it was kind of interesting though, because I wonder about that, but then I'm also just thankful. And, you know, I don't try to, you know, do everything I can to figure that out because it's like, well, maybe it was that moment. I was just supposed to understand that moment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's interesting because I had a friend from Ireland, England, and England later, and her husband was a diplomat, and they were in the Middle East, and they had buildings there where the people who worked for the government could live. And she said that she kept feeling men come to her, and they were very disturbed, and she couldn't understand what it was. They just were deeply disturbed, and she found out later that those buildings had been built on a prison a long time ago.
Yeah, I wonder if she was picking up on like the residual energy or if they really were coming through and they just were there, you know, like milling around. And wow. Yeah,
that would be terrible to think that they were still lingering on the earth. But certainly that she said she did not want to live there, you know, after a while.
Because
she knew that there was some kind of disturbance associated with the land. And then later she found out that there had been a prison there. So,
wow. Well, you know, and I think like that sounds a lot like residual energies. And, you know, I mean, if anybody gets a chance to look up some of Lloyd Auerbach's books, he has a number of books out there. And he has a couple books that are on, I'm trying to see if I can see what it is. I think it might be a paranormal case book. I think that's what it is. I'm not sure if that's the right one, or he has a number of books out there. And it's kind of cool because he talks a lot about stuff like that. So that would be kind of cool for people to check out.
That is amazing. His work of what was it about the ship? There was a ship and the people who had worked on the ship. Do you remember that particular case? I don't remember the details of it, but people were touring it. And there were stories about the various men who had been on that ship and died on it. And some of the men were real womanizers, and the things they did had been written about. They're very typical of them. And these women who came on actually did experience that. So Auerbach is really very interesting. I think we have a call.
We do. We do. Before we take our call, I just want to say for anyone who is interested in checking out his books, it's Lloyd and Auerbach. Auerbach.
Lloyd
Auerbach. Is it A-U-E-R?
I don't know.
Well, that's
sure.
Close. You'll find it anyway.
Close, yeah. Okay.
Hi, Brooke. Thanks for calling and thanks for waiting for us.
Hi. Thank you.
What would you like to share?
I think I'm just, I lost my son about 2 years ago, and I'm just still struggling. And I know anytime you lose a child, there is really nothing that can fill that void in your heart. But it just, the waves of grief seem to hit me just at unexpected times. And just when you think you're doing okay, it's that's not the case. So I'm trying to learn how to manage the waves of grief, I guess you could say.
That's a very real way of expressing it. Waves of grief.
It's just one of those things where you're, you know, I know my son would want me to be happy and live life and do all the things that I never got to do. He was medically fragile, and my whole purpose when he was here was just to give him the care that he needed. And now that he's gone, I'm just trying to refigure out what my purpose is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I understand. I mean, that's, you know, that would be extremely difficult. And I think that, you know, like we were talking about earlier is, you know, the grief, it doesn't go away. It's always with you. It's always in the present. But, you know, you're also, like you said, you're trying to move forward in many ways. And I think that if you take some comfort knowing that, you know, even though he isn't here physically, that he is around you in spirit. And, you know, like I'm not one of those people that say they're there 24/7. I feel like they're off doing whatever they're doing. But I do feel like he feels your energy. And, you know, when you're, you know, wanting to connect with him, or you, you know, you're feeling like you need to, and, you know, send something out there and see, you know, if he can give you a sign coming back towards you. And I think that, you know, sometimes that can kind of help you move forward a little. It's just, you know, it's so hard because I just feel for you in so many ways. And I just, you know, the best thing that, you know, I could say is that knowing that he is still here with you, you know, in it, their own way in spirit, you know, hopefully helps you when you're moving forward and trying to find, you know, that next step and that next, you know, place to go.
And
yes,
also,
absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, if you spent several years, I don't know how old he was when he crossed.
He was actually 17, and the doctors and everyone said, you know, if it weren't for the love that you gave to your son, he wouldn't have been here as long as he was. Because, I mean, he had so many close calls and so much going on, and it was my ex-husband and I were just constantly caring for him. We didn't have nursing. We didn't have help. We did it all on our own. And we just felt like no one can care for your child the way that you can. And, I mean, he had hundreds of seizures a day. He was on dialysis. I mean, there was just a lot going on. And none of the things that took him to the Lord were anything to do with his, conditions that he had. He died from a perforated bowel, and I still to this day just cannot fathom that that's what took him, you know? I honestly think God said, this is enough, and it's time for him to come home. And that's what I truly believe.
Oh, and what a gift crossing over can be. But, you know, I'm thinking about you and his father. But let's think of you just for the moment, since you're here. It seems to me that if you had a life of that kind of caring and loving and giving, that you have a future. In a way, you'd have to say that it was what it was in and of itself. But also, think how you've been transformed by that experience. There is certainly something for you will find in your life, I think, with that kind of experience of loving and caring for someone like that. That's a huge gift that you've given, and learning that gift through your love has to transform you so much that there's certainly something waiting for you to discover, you know, something very, very important for you.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Betty. I was thinking the same thing, that what a privilege your son had that you and your husband took care of him, you know, all those years, and you did everything, I'm sure, for him. I can totally, you know, believe you've done everything you can for him. And what a privilege he had to have your love and experience your love, that you would do that and just not, you know, choose a different path. And now it's almost like he's saying, okay, Mom, okay, Dad, thank you for all this. Now I'm giving back. It's time for me to move on. And now it's time for you to move on and do what you need to do in this world. And, you know, and I could see where it would be like totally starting over. It would be a whole new life. But you do have to just go, you know, go here, you know, take those steps and try this and try that. And you know, if you need to have breaks, do that too. And, you know, if you need to move forward and say, oh, I want to try this, or I really feel like I want to do this, then go out and try it, you know. And I think that he's, you know, giving you also that ability by letting go and saying, okay, you have done everything for me and it's been a privilege. And now I want to also give back in some way. And I feel like that's what's happening now, is he's doing that for you, you know, is giving you that chance to have new life experiences. And, you know, it is, I mean, I'm sure it's your whole life is totally upside down from that. And the loss of the love is so difficult, but it's also, you have to know what a blessing you were for him, because I mean, that's just stands out so strong, is that the blessing that you were for him, that he had someone like you and, you know, his father to be there for him is unbelievable. So, you know, try to remember that as you move forward too.
I appreciate that. I think that that's, like I said, it's just that when you have that care inside of you, and that was what I needed to do, was just because, you know, you love your child so much, and I wanted nothing more for him than just to give him the best life I could give him. And so when he passed, it was just devastating, because I'm like, you know, we were doing everything we could for him, and it was just his time to go. But I think the hardest part is just learning how to live again. And it's just one of those things where I just feel like there's a part of me that's just never going to be quite the same, and it's missing for sure. And, you know, my faith definitely helps me get through. Knowing my belief is that I'll be reunited with my son again one day, and he'll be, you know, he's whole, he's healthy. But I just existing without him is very difficult, just because I think a lot of my identity was wrapped up in just loving him, being his mother, you know?
Yes.
Right. Well,
our identity is wrapped up in the ones we love. And in that case with your son, I mean, it was totally so, but I can't help thinking that kind of training, you might almost say, that kind of transformation that has to take place with that kind of love and giving and getting the response. It's just, you are so able to give to the world. You know,
I appreciate that. Yeah, we all have a purpose here, and I truly feel like, you know, I was given the privilege to be his mother, and God chose me for a reason. And so I really hold on to that too.
I agree with you totally. That's a very creative and loving, beautiful way to understand it, I think.
And I would think it's changed other people as
well. Around, I would
you
imagine.
You know, that love and that commitment and that tender care.
Right. I agree with you guys.
Service,
yeah.
Just immense.
His service had so many doctors, physicians, nurses. I mean, just everyone that was involved in his care came to his service, because they were all just in amazement of how long he had, you know, made it, you know. And so I carry that with me as well, is that, you know, I know we did everything we could.
They had to be transformed by that kind of love as well. Right. I can hear it, Joe.
And he did everything he could too, it sounds
he
like.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well,
wow.
That is a beautiful story.
It is.
Beautiful love, and it heals people just hearing it.
And it's creative. Something mm-hmm. beautiful comes mm-hmm. out of such love.
And those
there's
bonds,
no way that it can.
Those bonds are not broken.
No.
They are not.
No.
It could not be.
No.
Right. Wow.
Thank you.
I thank you for taking the time to speak with me, and let me just share a little bit about my son, and I really appreciate your time.
Oh, well, we appreciate you.
And your experience. Thanks for calling in.
Just to hear it is good.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Brooke.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Brooke.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Take care.
We have Marilyn from Connecticut on the phone, and I don't mean to jump too quickly. Marilyn,
hi.
Are you still there?
We got disconnected for a brief minute there, and then you called back. That was very nice.
Oh, that's so great. Thank you for hanging in while we were having a few words with Brooke, and thank you so much.
What would you like to share? Was intense.
Oh, my
gosh.
Yes, it is.
Beautiful.
But love is, amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So, Marilyn, what's up? Do you have a story to share with us? Uh-oh.
Hello?
There you are.
Hello?
We thought we lost you again. Are you there?
Yes, I am. We keep getting disconnected. I don't know why, but maybe these folks don't want me to talk. So I can
make up. No. They're testing you here.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
I have a couple of people that I have had consistent, I believe, contact from. They were both teachers of mine, one a music teacher and another a social work mentor. I'm a licensed clinical social worker in retirement right now. But both of these men have, I believe, come to me, my social work mentor, in very dramatic ways, synchronicities.
Did we get disconnected again?
Uh-oh. Marilyn, are you there? Marilyn?
Yes, I am. I don't know why we keep getting disconnected like this. Maybe I need to get on another phone.
If you want to try, you can just call right back. If you want, it might be if you're on something wireless, maybe if the signal's just not strong.
Yeah, no, it's my home phone. Isn't that weird? Oh. Okay,
let me try this. Well, let's carry on.
Go for it.
Yeah, hope that it's
okay.
Must have said dramatic, so now I'm on the edge of my seat here.
Yeah, it's still really staticky. Anyway, a lot of synchronicity with my social work mentor, too much so to be ignored. And he also came to me in a visitation dream because I mourned him a great deal after he died quite suddenly within a couple of months of his wife, who had the same name that I have. She was also a Marilyn. And 3 months later, he's dying, and I went to his bedside and stayed there. I visited him at different points the weeks prior to his death. And after he died, I had a dream of him in which he was a runner, and he was also my running coach. He trained me for the marathon. We would take long runs together. During our breaks at work, because we worked at a clinic together. And in this dream, we were walking on a path that separated. And without speaking, he pointed to one path and said, I heard him telepathically say, you go there. And then to another path, and he said, I'm going here. We can't run the same path. I woke up, I was startled, woke up in the dream because it was very, as you know, very, very real, and my arms were up in the air. It was very, very dramatic. There were other times where, another time that a former client that we had in common called me because he wanted to talk to me about this man who had then died. And And I happened to come out of my office, and this young man was in the office and said to his mother, who he was with, oh, there she is. They were waiting for me, and I, quite by coincidence, came out of my office. They were in the hallway. I was not expecting them. And, you know, he told me the story of how Paul helped him a great deal and how grateful he was, and he wanted to make contact with Paul's family. So that night I went home, and I called Paul's daughter, and I said, you know, this young man who was your dad's son, dad's client, wants to make contact with you. And so she said, sure. And she says, you do realize what today is, Marilyn? And I said, what? She says, it's the anniversary of my father's death.
Wow.
You know, it was, and I did not remember. Okay, I did not remember. So it was he. This all happened on the day that Paul died. I don't know how many years before, maybe a year before. But with my other mentor, it was very, very difficult because we were all students of his. I'm a musician too, and he was our teacher, and we would regularly get together and perform together. We were in an ensemble together and orchestra, various orchestras together. We were accordion players, and. He also came to me in a dream, but what's more, what became more obvious to me as I deeply mourned him after his death, and I still do, is that I was, of course, walking. I had gone from running to walking. I was walking on a path and very, very sad, and suddenly a song comes to me, and this is how this man communicates to me through music. Song came to me, the Donny Hathaway song, A Song for You. I don't know if you're aware of it, of the words. And this is not a song that I would sing to myself or wasn't one of my favorite songs, and not even an artist that, I mean, I knew of Donny Hathaway, but I had not, I don't listen to him, you know what I mean? I don't have any of his albums or anything like that. But the song came to me, and the lyrics were clearly very, very revealing. And I believe he was talking to me. Through the music. He has since come to, he also loved animals, particularly deer. And there was one time where we were related through marriage. An aunt that we had in common who happened to die during, fall and then subsequently die after one of our concerts.
Wow.
I was very, very upset about it. And I said, you got to help me here, Bob. I'm really, really upset about this. And I'm walking as I'm thinking about it and really very upset. And all of a sudden, three deer come from out of the woods and literally danced in front of me. And then go into the woods. I said, okay, everything's going to be okay. Because I frankly was afraid I was going to get sued. Of course, nothing happened. I didn't get sued. And as soon as I saw that, I knew it was him saying, will you chill out, you know?
Yeah.
Just take a chill pill here. It's going to be okay. And also my grandfather appeared to me the night before I graduated from high school. He had died a few months before I graduated from high school, and I was very upset that my nonno was not going to be there to see me graduate. And I had a dream that he simply came to me, put his arms around me, and hugged me really, really tight.
Mm.
And I felt the hug.
Oh,
I felt it. And I woke up out of the dream and just knew that he had been with me and was telling me, I'm proud of you, and I'm here with you, and, you know, go forward in your life. And I've had numbers of experiences like that, and premonitory experiences. I'm a little psychic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there are the other experiences are too personal, but there are too many to tell you about. You know, but
I mean, that's
deeply believe
that
they communicate to us after they pass away, and I'm convinced of an afterlife and looking very forward to seeing my sister who passed away and my loved ones. Because as we get older, you know, death becomes more and more of a reality anyway. Let's face it. I'm 69 years old, you know, and it's going to happen. So
well,
anyway, I just thought I would share those with you.
Glad you did. And they're powerful experiences. And it just makes me, you know, when I hear experiences like that, I just want us all to be able to experience the spirits that are here, as Janet would say, the spirits, they are here. That those were very powerful, specific experiences that, you know, and I just wish that we could all, I think we're all working toward that, because I think each breakthrough that we have helps others as well. I think we're going toward that direction, but how much easier it would be to live on the planet if we could really have those experiences. You know, the one with your father. I mean, you knew that
grandfather,
that's right. You knew he was with you.
Yeah.
That's just beautiful.
Oh, yes.
And felt the hug. Yes, I love that.
Yes. And I love the fact that, you know, you find with all these experiences, you find comfort in the way with each person that was, you know, or each spirit now that was with you at the time. And they all give you something so individual, which I also love. And I love the fact that you were, you know, that you felt the hug. And I think that's always amazing. And it is your experience. And it is something that, you know, you can hold on to. And it does sound like you're very open and very clear. And I think that's really great, because that keeps you that way for you to experience more. And, you know, that's why I always tell everybody to stay open, to be open, pay attention. And like, you know, look at how many experiences you've had, and they just keep stacking up. And they're just, it's like one is, you know, just as amazing as the next one, you know, and that's what's so beautiful about it.
I love the deer.
Yes.
Three deer.
Oh, God, that was amazing. That was just because it was at the very moment I was at the crescendo of my anxiety about all this. And the three of them, not one, three, they come out in the middle of the road and danced in a circle in front of me. They were beautiful. Big bucks, you know, with the antlers and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty cool. That's a pretty cool sign.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you for telling us those stories. They're wonderful.
I think you've warmed a lot of hearts.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do it, too. It's very, very helpful. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Well, we were blessed with some wonderful callers tonight.
Oh, I should say.
Yes. Yeah, we have been. I mean, and you know, and it's just, even like with Brooke, it just makes me think, I mean, the love, oh my gosh, unbelievable. And, you know, and it's just, and I mean, really for both, Marilyn too, but I mean, it's just like, you know, they both have individual stories that are completely different. And yet, you know, we're all part of the whole. And that's what's amazing too.
Oh, yes, yeah. And, you know, I heard, the other day, I heard a lecture by a man who's spent, I think, 50 years in research in this particular subject, but he evidently is capable of seeing so much. And he said that he is so amazed, because he said the earth is filled with such love. And he said, I could see these lights all over the planet, these beautiful lights. And I could see mothers with their newborn children and parents with their children, and the light that made on the planet. Mm. I was just so moved by it, because, you know, often we are sort of told to think not so well of ourselves. And yet, think of the kind of love that everyone has been talking about tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, that can save a world. It can save a planet when we love like that. And there's so much love truly on the earth.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. Well, Janet, we would be honored if you would leave us in these closing words.
Yes, I will. This is the Mahayama prayer, and we will end with, may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe, and may we together complete the spiritual journey. And that's it.
Wonderful.
Amen to that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Thank you, Janet and Don.
Everyone have a great rest of the evening, day, week, whatever day or week or month you happen to hear this show, that'll be in the archives. We're grateful you join us.
Yes.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.